Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Judge Dad Verdicts. I'm Sean McMillan, my co-host Rich Morrow.
How are you?
McMillan and Morrow. Listen, everybody, thank you for tuning in. We have an amazing episode for you. We traffic in the sublime and the ridiculous, some of the most interesting stories that you have heard and some of which you've not heard about across the world and the internet. And Rich Morrow is going to guide us through it. Rich, what you got for me today?
Man, I'm starting off today in the Midwest. You know, I'm from the Midwest. It's actually my rival state. There's a lot of crazy things going on in Michigan.
You sound from sleepy. Ohio.
You know, I got
What's going on?
Cold weather going back and forth. We just had us a nice little stretch of cold weather, so I got to loosen up those vocal cords again, you know?
Okay.
Don't look at me like that.
It's always the like pretty that. Ones.
Hey, you know? I mean, can't have everything. So we're going to start off in Michigan today, and this is an interesting story, especially in today's climate with the way social media has consumed so many people's lives. According to the Unilad in Michigan, a teenage girl was being harassed by a bully, so to speak, online. Comes to find out that this bully was actually her mom, and her mom was posing as an anonymous teen, and it ended up with the mom and being charged for multiple counts of...
Wait, the mom was bullying her daughter?
She was bullying her daughter and her daughter's boyfriend. And
the boyfriend.
And the boyfriend.
Well, that makes a little more sense. I can see bullying the boyfriend.
They had to get the FBI involved because the school ended up getting involved with it. You know, the kid spoke out at school and they didn't have the resources, so they reached out to the FBI. And all of this came back to... basically find out that it was her mom that was
doing. Do we have any examples of what the mom was saying to the daughter?
It doesn't say that they give specific details on what she spoke of, but there were 349 pages of harassing text messages. Now, I don't know if this is one of those mother-daughter vendettas or a case of jealousy, you know?
No. I'll tell you what this is. It's an example of why some people shouldn't be having sex. Because they end up having kids, and they're not ready to be parents. You know, under what condition does it become tenable for a mother to be bullying their child?
And she never came out as having a clear reason why. She was tracked down, confessed to all of her actions, and... she literally got charged with stalking a minor, two counts of using a computer.
Not stalking a minor, stalking her own
stalking your own
daughter.
Child, which is a million times worse.
Listen, some people, condoms are real, people.
Real, okay? Effective.
And some folks ought to wear them.
Yeah.
And
she was 42 years old, so I guess relatively.
So she's grown.
Yeah, but she's grown at the same time.
Not 42 years old. You don't get no growner than 42.
You don't get...
Now, you could do some dumb stuff at 22. 32, I might even give you, like, you're 32.
Yeah.
42, you grown.
You should know better.
Yeah, you on your way to Social Security. Are you stalking your own child?
And allegedly.
Allegedly.
She attempted to frame another minor for her actions during the investigation.
Please tell me she's in jail.
She has to be.
She's got
to
be in jail.
There's four counts here that I see she's been allegedly.
The stories, first of all, how do you find these stories? Let's just start there.
I got my little sidekick that helped me.
But I am never not amazed at how ridiculous people can be.
It's a human race, man.
I mean, what the hell?
We've come a long way.
And apparently not far enough.
Not far enough.
No,
at
this
all.
Is bad. No, seriously, this is bad.
Yeah.
Because kids should be protected. They ought to be valued, loved. And now this little girl,
mm-hmm.
daughter, right? This little girl has to go through the rest of her life with this trauma.
No, that's
inflicted
very true,
by her mama.
And it sounds so harmless in a story sense, but when you think of the reality
No,
of
Rich, it does not sound harmless.
Well, because we don't know exactly what was said. I guess it could be really bad. I don't know how.
If you're charged with bullying and stalking,
it's got to be pretty bad, I guess.
What the hell? You mean harmless?
I see the word harassed, and I'm like, okay, harassment could be as little as someone, you know, just repeatedly hitting you up. without your consent. And,
Not harmless.
Yeah, you're right. That's still...
Yeah, let's just keep...
I guess maybe I'm a little more used to being harassed.
I was about to say, what's your experience with this? Because this sounds like...
I think I just had an epiphany. Yeah.
like you're being harassed and stalked.
Just okay with it.
It's
yeah.
okay.
You know what? Boundaries. That's what we need to learn here, too.
And how to wear condoms.
And how to wear condoms.
Or make people who are having sex with us wear them. Because some people aren't ready to be parents.
Yeah.
It's not, just because you have a kid doesn't make you a mom. Just because you have a kid doesn't make you a dad. It's your heart, it's your spirit, it's your courage that makes you a dad and that makes you a mom. And, you know, I'm a dad, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
you're judge dad.
That too. But I'm also an actual dad. And here's my thing. I hope and pray mm-hmm. that I've never done anything to my sons that diminished who they were. Now, I can't say I've never hurt their feelings.
Of course.
Because y'all know me. I can't say that I've never done something that they didn't like.
Yeah.
Because y'all know me too.
That comes with parents.
But I pray that I've never done anything that diminished their humanity. And if you're a parent and you don't have that commitment, then stop having kids.
Yeah.
Just stop. Because we don't need more broken people in the world.
Whew, say that again.
You know, we got enough. The next story you give us is going to be an example of, another broken person we got.
You're going to be very shocked. This is actually a feel-good story parlaying into
really?
This next one. Yes.
Okay. I stand corrected, people.
The one time that he assumes. So we're going to take this to Belgium. We're going overseas. According to the BBC, the people in Belgium, there's a town where they've started a new initiative to kind of prevent people from drunk driving and pre-gaming. And what to me seems kind of funny is that they're trying to discourage it because of reasons such as intoxication leading to fighting, vomiting in public places and things of that nature. So they've come up with this initiative to basically give people coins for free drinks that arrive to parties sober. So say you come to a party and you take a breathalyzer. If you're sober when you get to the party, they'll give you a coin that's worth 3 free drinks just for showing up sober and being responsible.
Okay, so the drinking is so bad.
It is Europe.
That they will give you money to buy a drink if you show up not
sober.
Drunk.
Mm-hmm. Which means I thought it would be more so for not, you know, preventing drunk driving more
than
anything.
Okay, what's the feel-good part of the story?
The feel-good is that it's actually working, and people have been getting positive results of less violence in their venues when people show up intoxicated, not people throwing up by the time they get there or by the time they leave, because they've already done this long.
Well, let me just say this: I'm about to get a little racial.
Uh oh.
Okay. they ought to do this in some white colleges.
Oh yeah.
You went to one.
Uh huh.
I went to one too. I'm just saying they ought to do this.
It's not that I think about it. It's a very good idea in the sense of, like I said, for drunk driving and things of safety measures, for sure. People, when they get there, are still going to drink as much as they want to. We know that. They're going to do what they're going to do. But I think you are limiting that curve by giving them rewards for not indulging before they come. And who knows?
Yeah, but what kind of world do we live in where we got to give you incentives not to show up drunk and throwing up and pissing on the street?
But as far as I know, this has been going on since alcohol has been discovered. People love alcohol on a mass scale as the human race for some reason.
Are you a big drinker?
I'm not a big drinker. In college, I was a social drinker a lot more. But that's really what it ends up being, I feel like, most of the time. Most people that do end up being heavy drinkers become that because of their social circles and the people that are around them doing it. So,
yeah, I'm not much of a drinker.
No.
It doesn't do much of anything.
Do a lot of your friends drink often?
I don't have a lot of friends.
See, so that's probably why you're not a drinker, because you don't have a lot of friends and they're not drinking.
When you get to be my age,
yeah,
you're going to realize you don't have a lot of friends either.
I think I'm starting to get there.
You're going to learn that little lesson. But no, I never really got into drinking.
Yeah, yeah. It's overrated, man.
Because I don't like not being in control. I don't like being drunk. I don't like... Now, a little buzzy buzz is nice. You know, but I prefer champagne.
Champagne.
I can't be drinking beer. See, that's the devil. I need something, you know.
Yeah, I'm shocked at how widely accepted alcohol is in comparison to other things that are deemed worse.
Okay.
Not speaking.
I'm about to say, are we sure we want to go down this block?
I just feel it leads to a lot more destruction than other things that are quoted as being worse. So,
you know, I agree with that. I think alcohol is far worse than marijuana.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd much rather be around somebody who smokes than someone who drinks.
Yeah.
You know, because you know, alcohol makes people crazy.
Yeah, if they smoke enough, eventually they're probably going to go to sleep.
Yeah, I've never seen anybody smoke a lot of weed and be out and just be wild. Like, you know, I've never. Is that?
It's the opposite effect.
You?
No.
Yeah, I've never seen that. Effect. I'd much rather you smoke a lot of weed and sit next to me.
Than drink.
I would. Just, you know, smoke and just sit right here.
That's probably all they're going to do.
Yeah, but, you know, but people drinking is a whole different experience. Yeah. Well, good luck to the people of Belgium. Y'all, I've actually been to Belgium, by the way.
Have you?
Yeah,
I've been there. What part?
I don't know.
You don't remember?
Yeah, I don't know. But I've been there, and, you know, you guys obviously have a little thing going on with alcohol.
I think all of the European countries in that area do. I just finished watching a show about Europe in the 1920s and 30s, and it's been bad since then. So I can only imagine growing up in that culture.
Well, America ain't much better, people. Like. Okay?
Oh, that is very
America
true.
America ain't much better.
That is very true.
I still don't know what the feel-good part of that story was.
The feel-good is that they're getting positive results and they plan to scale the initiative. That's where I was kind of getting at. They plan on, you know, spreading this trend and hopefully less people will be drinking and driving and showing up.
I got a better trend. They
banning it all together, right. Prohibition again.
I got a better trend they ought to try. You know? Stop drinking so damn much.
Hey.
Stop drowning your sorrows in alcohol.
If you can't trust the people to do it on their own, sometimes you got to put rules in place.
Yeah, but here's the pushback. And this is a bit of a serious pushback. Mm-hmm. You can treat the symptom, or you can treat the cause. And a city, a culture, a nation ought to be concerned about why its citizens are so committed to being elite. What's the word? Inebriated.
Inebriated.
That they need to drink that much. Yeah. How about why? Somebody needs to ask in Belgium, why do our citizens need to drink this much? What the hell is wrong?
That this is such an
right.
issue.
Right. Yeah. Treat the cause, not the symptom. And I think the same thing is true in this country.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, opioid addiction.
I was going to say that.
Out of control, right? People popping pills.
Yeah.
As we look at Tyler. I just have to throw that in. I mean, but there's a reason why people are doing all this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They're trying to, anxiety is out of control, fear. And if you don't deal with that, you're just putting a Band-Aid on cancer. Mm.
That is.
Don't do that.
This next one, we're going to stay over in Europe.
Are you going to wake up at any point in the show?
I am up. You guys can see me.
Because your energy is just awful.
Oh, man. Awful? I'm awful?
You're just down here. I'm up here.
That's why I didn't want to be having to sit like this.
No, you just wanted to be able to look at yourself in the damn camera.
I can see myself too low, but I just want to make sure
that's the most energy you've had this entire episode.
Hey, guys, do I have energy? You guys could tell me in the comments. I can handle it if you think I don't have any energy. I just think he's getting soothed by my deep voice. I hear it does that sometimes. But let's see.
It wouldn't be the voice that got me.
You sure?
Positive.
You sure? Okay.
Be the eyebrows.
It's the eyebrows. It's one of the two.
One of the two.
So over in England, which also has a very strong drinking problem.
This is another drinking story?
It's not directly related, but you'll see. Okay. So according to the BBC, the Westminster Council is fighting public urination that's going on in England with splashback paint.
What?
Yeah. So they launched a campaign following complaints from a bunch of residents, right? So there's a substance that they call, you know, a splashback substance, where when you spray it on something, it literally will have whatever is, you know, poured or relieved on there splashback on you. And they've also put a lot of money into an initiative to clean up the streets and all kinds of things that have happened kind of that they've been able to be aware of over the last few years since the pandemic and things like that. So they're catching people urinating on the streets by filming them and setting up all kinds of schemes to
this is in London?
Limit this. Yes,
I love London.
It's in Westminster.
I've been to London a bunch of times. And so, what's going on in Europe?
They've had a drinking problem
Hell,
for
made my European
long time.
Friends. You know, what are y'all? What are y'all doing? They over there pissing and drinking on the street?
Yeah, and people on people's doors, residents were saying. So, I mean, I could imagine why people would be upset, but I think it's kind of funny that people are going to find out.
That the pee's coming back to you?
I would be confused. And they're also doing something that I feel like is kind of cool that, you know what's interesting to me now that I'm realizing this as I'm speaking on it? Just hearing that they put 950,000 pounds a year toward this effort in cleaning up, you know, this spike in urinating cases and things of that nature. They're setting up QR codes around the city to help people find the nearest toilets and to remind people that it's an offense and things of that
nature. You have to remind people that it's an offense?
You shouldn't have to.
To piss on the street?
You shouldn't have to. But okay. The fact that it was an issue that was brought up and the tax dollars look like they're actually going towards that shows that they're actually trying to do something about the issue. Not sure if it's the best solution, but I feel like I don't see that as often in America from my personal experience of, oh, this is an issue brought up. Oh, this is the fund going towards it. Oh, we can see them doing something
So let me push back and sit first and say that you're right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't often see people just randomly pissing on the street.
Yeah.
But.
Well, in downtown LA, I beg to differ.
Well, yeah. But what you don't see in Europe mm-hmm. is the kind of homelessness problem that we have.
That is true.
You know, so pick your poison. Which would you rather have? You know, a society where people feel entitled enough to just pee anywhere they want?
Mm.
Or a society where people are homeless and living on the street?
I think they're both pretty bad when you look at what, as human beings, we all deserve. I think we all should be valued and have homes and have places where we can, you know, not have to do things like that in public venues and places. But I mean, you got people that are saying that they were forced to clean up condoms and, you know, feces twice a day sometimes. And
in London?
Yes. And
what is going on in Europe, Tyler? What is going on in Europe? I mean, what is happening? People are just shitting on people's doors?
And urinating on them and leaving condoms all over people's, you know, yards and things like that. That's tough to deal with.
No, when you first started the story, I mm-hmm. thought it was a little, you know.
Yeah.
You know, a little light.
Just urinating.
But this is a much deeper problem. I mean, the loss of inhibition,
mm-hmm.
the loss of your ability to control yourself and to have inhibitions that relate directly to your capacity for dignity and self-respect. See, it's not about the door you just crapped on.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the fact that you had no self-respect enough not to pull your pants down and show your ass in public and shit on somebody's door. Mm-hmm. That ain't about the door. You know what I'm saying?
That's not.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, yeah. And who knows? It could go into a deeper issue, kind of like we have here, where it could be a opioid thing. It could be a mental health thing, but at the end of the day, something needs to be done about it. And like you said, maybe instead of treating, you know, the actual issue, we need to treat the person and figure out what the cause of this actually is, because it's not normal.
No, something ain't right. Look, let me now public sort of defecating and mm-hmm. defecating and urinating in inappropriate places is most often related to abuse.
Abuse, really?
One of the things you know about abused children, you can mm-hmm. tell if a child's been abused, is if they exhibit inappropriate behavior in inappropriate mm-hmm. places.
Mm-hmm.
So one time I was working with a camp, mm-hmm. and there was a kid there who would defecate in the sink.
Mm.
And one of the psychologists who was there immediately knew what it was.
Mm.
And we were able to sort of deal with that. And I never forgot that lesson.
Yeah.
I never forgot that lesson.
It's probably very eye-opening.
But what it is, and what the psychologist said mm-hmm. to me was, and I'm not a psychologist.
Yeah.
I'm a philosopher.
Yeah.
But what the psychologist said to me was, it's the loss of boundaries. When you've been violated, you lose boundaries.
Mm.
And so there's no difference between a toilet and a sink.
True.
So the point that I'm making with respect to Europe and what's mm-hmm. going on in London is one has to ask a very serious question about the kind of experiences people are having in these countries.
True.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Where they're losing their sense of boundaries.
Yeah.
What kind of trauma are people dealing with where you don't give a damn?
Yeah. That's a very good point.
Or, as in the case when people have been traumatized, mm-hmm. where it's a cry for help. You sort of do these things because you want people to notice.
Yeah.
You want people to see, I've done something nuts. There's something wrong with me.
True.
Now, let me just say, I'm about to get racial. There is a little something wrong with Europe, okay? So I wouldn't be surprised. You know what I'm saying? No, and I'm being serious.
Yeah.
Anti-Semitism is off the change and going on in Europe. Racism is off the change in Europe. I'm just saying, and maybe not everywhere in every country, but there's enough going on for people to really feel. And then add on that the pandemic.
And to know that it's an issue.
Right. Yeah. These stories are not just willy-nilly.
Yeah.
There's a reason why people are acting crazy. And I just think that, you know, we would do ourselves a favor to sort of think about that.
I agree. I think that's a very, very strong point on that we should probably definitely end on with that, because I don't really have another explanation other than, just like you said, it's something that needs to be looked at, and it's not just a small thing.
Especially in London. Have you been to London?
I have. I love London.
I love London.
Yeah, I'm very surprised that people, because I really didn't see many homeless people. I will say that. I didn't see that many homeless
people. Not in London.
But I also was aware from being there that people are very rule-oriented. People follow the rules.
Very much so.
And I was shocked. They're looking at me like I was breaking rules by doing little things, and I'm like,
I jaywalked, and people were looking at me like, what's wrong with him?
So to hear that being an issue is kind of surprising to me a little bit, but
I'm telling you, there's an underlying trauma.
Yeah.
And who knows where it comes from, but, you know, I guess that goes back to us sort of, one of the things we always say in this show is no matter how ridiculous the story, it's also to try to find yourself in there and to say that, you know, there but for the grace of God, you and I might be shitting on somebody's doors.
I hope not. I don't know what circumstances I would have to be under.
Me too, but I'm just saying, you never know.
Okay, let's move forward on to the next one. I'm actually going to skip this one that I was going to do. I'm going to bring it to California. It's a feel-good story. You're probably going to hate it, but we're going to do it anyway.
Why would you assume that I would hate a feel-good story?
I wasn't. That was actually Tyler's, you know, assumption, but we'll see. You might. Sometimes he's really right.
He's hardly ever right.
Tyler's our producer that we love so dearly, by the way, in case you were wondering.
One of us loves him.
So in California, according to AP News, here in Los Angeles, a California girl is licensed to own a unicorn if she finds one. So an LA girl wrote a brief later last month that read, Dear LA County, I would like your approval if I can have a unicorn in my backyard if I can find one. And she got her wish. She was literally issued a permit by the Department of Animal Care and Control that gave her a permanent unicorn license. And embezzled on it, had a white fuzzy unicorn doll with pink ears, and it came with some rules.
Somebody had nothing to do with that.
Yeah,
office.
Can you imagine? But this probably really meant a lot to this little girl. The rules that they gave her was that the mythical creature must be provided ample exposure to sunlight, moonbeams and rainbows, and have its horn polished at least once a month with a soft cloth. They also gave her a sense of, you know, responsible pet ownership to seek permission in advance so that she could... she could be approved of being suitable for a unicorn and all of these things. They made her go through the whole process as if she was really getting like a, you know, tiger from the zoo or something. And yeah, made some little girl's day.
Who picked this story?
This wasn't me. I didn't pick any of the ones thus far.
I mean, no. I'm happy for the little girl, but.
But think about it. It's like feeding into the, I don't want to ruin anybody's beliefs, but, you know, there's certain figures we grew up believing were, you know, real, and you don't want to hinder a kid's imagination.
No, I'm not poo-pooing on the little girl.
Yeah, you're just poo-pooing on the story.
The department of whatever wrote the girl a thing so she could have a unicorn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's a real story in L.A.
All right. I think these people have some better things they need to be doing.
Yeah.
But I get it. I mean, that's sort of a feel-good story.
Okay, so speaking of bigger things, this is something going on in the U.S. According to BBC, the U.S. Senate unanimously passed a bill to curb private ownership of big cats, such as tigers and lions and things of that nature, which I can honestly say I'm a little bit upset about because although I love those animals so much, I've always wanted a tiger growing up. But on a serious note, after documentaries, I don't know, did you see The Tiger King?
Yeah, everybody saw The Tiger King.
So after documentaries like The Tiger King and things like that, it's been brought to the higher-ups' attention that something needs to be done about private ownership of big cats and animals of that nature. So there's been a bill that's been unanimously passed to curb that whole situation. What do you think about people having big cats?
I think you reap what you sow.
Yeah? You're not a big fan?
No, I'm not a big fan of animals.
Oh, okay.
I'm not an animal guy. I don't trust them.
So in the U.S., there's nearly 7,000 tigers that are here that are living either in zoos or privately owned, and it nearly doubled the amount of tigers that are living in the rest of the world. So yeah, that that's make, why they feel
so explain to me why you would want an animal. Mm-hmm. Perfectly capable of killing you at any moment.
Well, there's
just other, roaming around.
It can be argued that there's other animals that are, you know, in the same category.
Well, it can be
snakes,
anything can be argued.
Dog.
That's not a response.
Yeah,
that it can be argued.
But it's true.
We're talk, no, we're
People
talking
said
about,
that about
no, no,
pit
no.
bulls.
We're
talk, I got two of them.
You're doing whataboutism.
Okay.
Let's talk about the tiger.
Okay.
That you said you wanted, and I'm trying to figure out
why I would want one.
Why would you want an animal so viciously capable of eating you one morning?
Well,
Pitbull can't do that.
My short answer to that is if I helped raise the animal and he were familiar or she were familiar with me, that wouldn't be something that's, I wouldn't raise the animal.
You're overestimating your smile.
You never know.
That,
or
no,
my
no.
my nurturing. I would love to have a tiger that started out as a little tiger grow to be a big tiger that loved me as much as my dogs
ask
do.
Ask Siegfried and Roy. ask them about raising the tigers.
Yeah, I get it. But a kid can dream, right? Anybody else out there wanted a tiger or some kind of animal that they feel they can't have privately growing up? I feel like most kids have that kind of fantasy.
Hold on. Put the camera on me. Anybody else grew up and realized it was dangerous to have tigers? Back to him.
You know, although that is a point, snakes are dangerous. All kinds of animals are dangerous. Let's just get that out of the way. But no, it's about how you care for them, right?
No, it's not. Rich, it's not. I'm trying to save your
I'm
life.
I'm just going over nature,
no,
you
no,
know,
no.
and nurture and all
I
of that.
I am literally
know?
Trying to save your life right now, okay? Do not. When you become a big actor,
yeah.
you start winning Oscars and don't, Emmys.
You don't want me to get a tiger.
And, can I finish? And Emmys and Tonys.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm blessing you right now. You got all the hardware. You got a big old house in Encino or wherever you want to live.
With my farm.
With your farm.
Mm-hmm.
Do not get a damn tiger. Don't do this to yourself.
Okay, what about a monkey?
Okay, get them.
Monkey's less violent.
No, they not.
It's not going to eat me.
Nah, it'll beat the hell out of you. You ever see a monkey just start like slapping? Bro, how about you just stick with the dogs? Stick with the dogs, man.
You need diversity. You got to diversify.
But you know, there's something interesting in this. And here it is. What is it about us that doesn't allow us to accept well enough and to leave it alone? That we always have to sort of push the boundary.
We're adventurers by nature.
Yeah, but adventure would be going to the moon. Adventure is going, you know what I'm saying? It's the Mormons going across to Utah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's Africans coming to America before Columbus, which they did, by the way.
Yeah.
Another show. It is not getting a monkey.
Okay.
That's not adventure.
It seems like it could be adventurous to me.
You see adventure, I see danger.
Okay. You know Have you been to Thailand?
Danger. Danger. Not going. That's why I go to London.
Because there's no wild animals.
No wild animals in London. I go to London. I go to Cape Town. You hear me?
Yeah.
No. Danger.
Okay. Fair enough. shifting gears to smaller.
No, I don't want to shift gears. I want to stay on this. Because I think it's important that people understand that when you play with danger and then it comes back to get you, you ain't a victim. What are you? What I always say? You're a volunteer.
Yeah.
You raised your hand for this.
Yeah.
So
I just think it has to be gone about the right way. I don't think I'm alone in this.
No, there are plenty of crazy people in America who probably think the same thing that you think. And then there are plenty of people like me who have good sense and know that danger is not something you play with.
I think this is an opportunity for us to be able to ask our audience, you guys leave in the comments what you guys feel about this whole wild animal, you know, private situation that's going on in America. Because in some cases, I think it's okay. In other cases, I think the animals definitely deserve to be in the wild, and you have to let nature take its course.
Wait, in some cases you think animals deserve to be in the wild?
It just depends on the animals.
It depends on the
people that are owning them. I think there should be a very clear distinction between who's capable of doing this, you know, in a way that's good and beneficial for the animal and the person.
You know, last time I saved you from R. Kelly, this time I need to save you from the PETA people.
I love animals. I like being close to them. I don't want to see them in the zoo. But
to the PETA people who are watching, he doesn't mean anything that he's saying right now.
A lot of animals.
He believes that all animals should be wild and free, safe and loved. That's what he believes, no matter what he just said.
We're going to go with that then.
The hell?
I mean, I love animals. I don't want to see any animals harmed. That's the bottom line, though.
Or in cages.
I don't want to see them in cages either. They wouldn't be in cages in my home.
Let's move on. Okay. Do me a favor, put me in your will, though.
So you can have all of my animals?
No. Put me in your will, because you might need tigers roaming around. All right, what else you got?
Okay, we're going to go to London. According to the NPR.
To NPR, not the NPR.
The NPR, NPR, tomato, tomata, NPR.
Thank you.
Quick question. Would you hurt a bee? Sound like a lion.
It's either a tiger or a god.
Somebody's.
Would I hurt a bee?
Would you hurt a bee? If a bee were flying around here, or you were at a picnic and a bee was about to sting you, would you kill it or would you let it fly?
Oh, yes.
You would?
Oh. The bee is dead.
So would you kill a bee knowing that it had feelings? And there's a reason I'm asking this question.
Yes.
You would? Okay.
I don't care about the bee's feelings.
Okay. Well, there's been a study now that suggests that bees have feelings because they've been discovered to actually enjoy playing. So if they enjoy playing and doing things of that nature, it's been concluded that when things seem difficult, there's proof that they result to playing. So when they get in tough situations, instead of focusing on their work and the mother bee and all of that, they've discovered that sometimes bees will take time out of their busy work schedule to play.
Who gave you that line?
No one. It was just came right to me.
It came to
you? Yeah. You felt that one. But, you know, they take time out of that schedule of theirs to literally play. Mm-hmm. And that leads to a lot of other assumptions that, you know, they have feelings and that they can be upset, they can be happy, they can be sad, just like other animals. So
now does that make you more or less prone to kill a bee who's stinging you? Tell the truth and shame the devil, son. Come on now. You can do
it. If I'm being honest, if I feel like a bee is gonna sting me, I think I would have to kill it. But at the same time, if it's not bothering me, I don't feel the need to kill it.
Yeah, I'm not saying you just walk around and just kill bees.
Yeah, you know,
there's a bee, let me go kill it. I'm saying, yeah, if in the commission of the crime of stinging you,
yeah,
you still even knowing that the bee
has
feelings.
That's fight or flight.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm all for the bee having feelings and playing, but you need to play somewhere else.
Yeah, we don't play like that.
Right. We don't know each other that well for you to be stinging me.
Mr. Bee.
No, I'm killing it. No, that bee is dead.
Yeah, no. And, you know, obviously a lot of animals enjoy playing and things of that nature. So we know and have seen, you can visibly see other animals.
I have a rule. You want to hear it?
Mm-hmm.
If you come in my house, you want it to die. So if you're like a fly, a bee, a gnat, anything. Yeah. If you come in my house, it's because, what is it called? Murder, suicide? suicide by cop? This is suicide by Sean.
And suicide by Sean.
I am killing you.
Yeah. Okay.
You've been in my house.
Yeah. So their efforts aren't working because they're trying to find ways to encourage people to respect and protect
wildlife.
Mission failed over here.
Yes, I am so committed to killing bugs that come into my house. You want to hear everybody hear a story?
Uh-huh.
A fly came into my house, and I hunted him for an hour.
An hour. Flies are hard to catch sometimes.
I stalked that fly, and you know what killed him?
Mm.
Some, like, cleaning spray.
Sometimes that's what you got to do.
Because I couldn't, like, get him, but I could get him in the midst of the spray, and he got all I don't play when it comes. I hate bugs in my house.
Yeah, I do too. No. Honestly, bugs, that's the one place where.
And if Tyler gives you a story about the fly having feelings, I don't care.
Forget them feelings.
He going to wake up with God. He going to wake up with God. Come to my house.
Oh, man.
I had to get that out.
That was pretty funny. I'm not going to lie.
My bad.
No need to apologize.
I don't get it.
You don't care about the bee's feelings. It's okay. You don't care about mine either. It's completely
fine.
Oh,
where did that? We just grabbed it. What is that? I don't care about your feelings. I just saved you from the PETA people. Did I not just do a whole PSA?
I don't have to do about feelings anyway, though. That's my well-being.
Which is sometimes more important than your feelings, sir.
See what I mean, though? You're justifying why you don't
Which
care
is sometimes
about
more important than your little feelings. Your well-being.
Not in my little feelings.
If you have to choose between my well-being and my feelings.
The audience sees what's happening here.
Choose my feelings. The hell with my well-being.
You hear how his tone changed in the topic of feelings now. He definitely does not.
First of all, audience, I'm the emotional one. Okay? I'm the love guy. I'm committed to love and relationship, just not with bugs.
Which I feel you on, because I'm not a spider or insect fan by any means. But so
we care about your feelings.
Okay, I'm glad you do, even if it's just for now. Our last story. You ready for this last one? We've been in nature a lot today, talking about animals and insects. But in England, according to the BBC. Patients are going to be prescribed nature. And it's something that patients have been expressing a need for and a benefit from, but it's actually being something that's being taken seriously now where it is literally a requirement for some people to be
prescribed nature.
Where it's a requirement that you have to go out in nature and not be inside and confined to being indoors and being a hermit, but they're forcing people to connect with nature, which include reducing their stress and fatigue and anxiety and depression by just being outside. And it's a trial that they've been doing, but the trials have come back with extremely good results. Roughly 75% of people said that they've benefited greatly from this.
They needed a trial to figure out that people should go outside?
I mean, I know I feel better when the sun's out, so... Definitely helped with my depression and things of that nature growing up. Growing up in Cleveland,
Yeah, but you didn't need a study to figure that out, right?
It's not that you need a study, but I found out basically through experience rather than someone having to tell me. But you got to think, today's day and age, everybody's so here. Everybody's in their phone. Everybody's on a screen.
I didn't grow up like that.
Yeah, and that's the difference, though, is that you didn't.
I grew up going outside. You go outside, and you better be back in the house by the time the damn street light comes on.
Exactly.
All right.
But these kids nowadays don't really have.
That's because they got bad parents. Bad parents.
You think going outside is still the same as it would be if it were approached the same way that it was?
There was dangers when I was outside.
Yeah, that's
true.
There
was people selling drugs and people shooting rods. I mean, danger is a predicate of human existence. It has always been there.
Yeah.
The means and the methods may be different, but the threat is constant.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, and not every place people go is threatening or dangerous.
Oh, sure. Of course.
You know, what I mean by we have terrible parents is that we have parents who allow children to make the decision to sit up in the basement and be 400 pounds playing Xbox all day.
Yeah.
you know? And, yeah. so the kid now he's a, and here's the thing, now you got me on a rant. I don't understand people that watch other people play games online.
It's amazing. It's just as crazy as kids watching kids play with toys.
There are people who are watching other people play. They're not even playing the game. Yeah. They're watching other people play it and talk about it.
So it's like a human playground, even video games. People like being able to see people that are talented or, you know, maybe more talented than them at something, whether they're directly involved or not, just like watching sports.
No, sir.
They call it esports.
That's not even a sport to be. If you're sitting in a chair, it's not a sport.
Race car drivers sit in chairs. They're not athletes.
That's not a sport to be either. Driving. You're driving. It's not a sport. A sport is you're sweating. So you're jumping, you're running.
Is chess considered a sport?
No, it's a game.
It's just a game.
It's a game.
Okay.
You know, it's not a sport.
Yeah, you're right.
But I'd much rather you be out playing chess than sitting in the house.
It's like brain aerobics.
I just don't understand how we've allowed an entire generation to exist in the house.
It's gotten to that point, and that's why things like this are needed.
And they don't even live in the real world.
Yeah.
No wonder you get destroyed when someone doesn't want to date you, or someone says no, or someone gives you a microaggression. And now you got to go online, and I got to hear about your microaggression.
Yeah.
How about some real aggressions was going on in the world? Not microaggressions. It's because your ass been in the house too long.
Yeah.
Well, you know? The good news is, I'm not done ranting.
Go ahead, keep ranting.
Try getting on a New York City subway.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Take the E train or the A train at rush hour.
Yeah.
There's some real aggressions going on there.
Oh, real aggressions. Yeah. That you can't avoid either.
But I thank God for how I grew up.
Yeah.
Because it helped to make me strong enough to deal with the ups and downs of life.
Yeah.
Like rejection, disappointment, failure.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody else, but I'm not decimated by it. Like if you don't call me back, well, not make it you, because you're going to make it about your feeling. Tyler doesn't call me back, first I'm going to rejoice. But I'm not going to be destroyed by it.
Yeah.
If you block me, you think I care?
Yeah. It's not the end of the
world. Like if you tweet me? Really?
And some people invest way too much of their feelings.
Come on, man. Tweet me all you want. Yeah.
I definitely think growing up and having that element to my childhood shaped who I am in the sense of just being a kid. And I feel like it's a natural progression that we need as humans, is to be able to have that period of our life where, you know, we do go outside and play and just, you know, get that imagination
and be a kid
and build relationships with friends in your neighborhood. It's a community thing to me. It took a village, I feel like, to really grow up in a healthy way. And a lot of parents, I think, put a lot of pressure on feeling like they got to do it themselves. And it's like, let your kid spread its wings and, you know, interact with other kids.
You want to know the difference between your first kid and your second kid? So when you had your first kid, you're very overprotective.
Yeah.
You don't want nothing to get close to the kid. You know, you taste everything.
Yeah.
Your second kid, you just throw them down.
Like, good luck, second
play.
Child.
You'll be all right.
All the middle kids out there are
you
probably
can
like,
always tell a parent if this is their first kid.
Yeah.
Oh, everything. The second kid, the parents are like, you want them?
They're ready to give them away.
Because you realize children are resilient.
Yeah.
They are strong little things.
Mm.
And they can handle it. They can take it. They can fall down
and get right back
and
up.
They'll roll over and think about it. They'll look at your reaction. If you good,
they good.
And as it is with children, so let it be with adults.
That's true.
That we understand that we are far more resilient and able to handle the vicissitudes of life.
Mm-hmm.
We will not be destroyed by the darkness.
That's very well put.
I'm just saying.
I think that's a great, great topic to end on. This has been a really good episode. It's been a feel-good episode for us. I think we've needed some of those after some of the wild rides.
You only
had
one
feel-good
story.
Well, these weren't as
the unicorn.
These weren't as rough as the other ones.
Yeah,
okay. I think this was a rather lighthearted episode.
All right, everybody, listen. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Rich and Morrow.
Look at you.
I'm about to give you the whole show.
You can give me the show. It's okay.
McMillan and Morrow here on Judge Dad Verdicts. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time with more of what's going on in the world.
See you next time, guys.
Thank you, Tyler.
So nice of you.
That really hurts you.